Good morning, you beloved community. Good to see you today. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you are sitting in this two-thirds, you have the great seats today because you don't have to twist your neck to see the one projector that's working. So sorry, you all. You have to just crane your neck to the left a little bit and we'll all be just fine. We're so glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, either here in person or online, thanks for your presence. As always, it is a beautiful morning to gather together today in the name of Jesus. We'll worship together, we'll break bread together, we'll drink from the cup, we'll listen, we'll pray, and we will give a blessing, a benediction at the end of today. So glad that you're here. I'm going to light our Christ candle to remind us, of course, that God's presence is indeed among us and in us. In a moment, I'm going to read Psalm 56, and what I typically do is invite you to stand at the beginning of it. What I'm going to ask you to do instead today is at any point during the five slides, if we happen to read something aloud, or if I happen to read something aloud that calls you to stand, do it then. If nothing calls you to stand, that's okay. You can stand after the fifth slide, but any time in between the slides that will come up or reading today, then please do that. All right, Carter, we have five slides. I'm going to start with the first one, and you know your task to stand whenever you feel moved to. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's all stand as we sing and worship together.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love. will guard his children.
Let's remain standing as we pray together our Lord's Prayer, and then we can be seated for the song that follows. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen. Let's be seated, please.
When I survey the just gain, I count.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Are already headed to the back table. If you are anywhere youngish to a little bit older, up to fourth, fifth, you're welcome to join them at that table for your roots time. We're so glad, as always, that you're here. Mr. Caleb is back there, and Ellery, too. Andrea, thanks for leading us in song today. Steve, thanks for reading our scripture. Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we seek you. Would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see, and would you give us ears to hear? For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. In the church calendar, not the one that you can find in your weekly Southwest Central newsletters, but the one that helps center Christian communities all over the world. In that calendar, today is known as Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is the final day in the yearly lectionary schedule. It's both the pinnacle and conclusion of the church's journey through the life of Jesus and his gospel message. We celebrate today the Christ who was and is and will forever be, the one who is ushering in the renewed creation that is the kingdom of God. It's also ordination day, when Jesus gets his crown and his throne, just not in the way that anybody expects. We'll talk more about that in a bit. First, though, a look back at where we have been. You've heard me talk many times about the church calendar, about its thematic cycle, but for our common benefit, here we go again. The church calendar does not begin on January 1st, like a New Year's Day, but a month or so before Christmas. The church calendar moves intentionally from Advent, where we wait for the incarnational light of God, to Christmas, the God who is with us, Emmanuel, to Epiphany, the revelation that, yes, God has surely arrived in flesh and blood, to Lent, that uncomfortable reminder that that flesh and blood must go through the wilderness and not around it, to Holy Week, the last days of Jesus' life, to Easter, the surprising and sacred wonder of resurrection, to Pentecost, the Spirit of God that lands on shoulders of everyday people, to ordinary time, which reinforces the call to discipleship, building on everything that has been discussed thus far from Advent to Pentecost. The whole year of Scriptures funnel us toward today, Christ the King Sunday. The birth and revelation and repentance and death and resurrection and celebration and living into our Jesus calling, every bit of it brings us back to this point that Christ is our King, the one we adore, the one we serve, the one we represent, the one we get to follow. Next week, if you can believe it, we'll start all over again with Advent and make the same loop. For all of ordinary time, or the season after Pentecost, as it's also called, we have been listening through the Gospel of Luke, 23 weeks worth. Today is the 24th. We did not get to everything, unfortunately. I'm sure I missed some of your favorite parts in Luke's Gospel, and if that's the case, I am sorry about that. Please let me know. I would love to hear that. What did I miss? What would you have loved to hear from up here? At the end of a lectionary cycle or at the conclusion of a long series, we don't wipe our hands of it when we're finished. We don't offer self-congratulatory handshakes around the sanctuary on a job well done. Way to go, everybody. Another fine season of church services. To honor not only the text, but the God to whom it points, is to continually return to it. In 2024-25, when this scripture cycle comes back around, there's a decent chance we will revisit Luke as it pops back up in the lectionary. Which means I might try to reuse a story about my dad's grandfather clock. Or Virgil Fry might come back to preach about the woman who kept bugging the county judge. Or we could speak about Jesus' pronouncement again every Sunday. I don't know. But it's not ultimately the calendar we are concerned about. Our main focus is and has been this. How is the Word of God shaping you? Better yet, how is God's Spirit shaping you through the Word? To continually return to the text, Luke, or any other, means to live well what we have been taught, to wrestle with it, to struggle, to sacrifice, to attend, to stay awake, to remain aware, to try it out, to try it on, to try it again, to let it go, to confront the past, to remain present, to hope for the future, to say, I don't know, and to move forward in faith anyway. One of the many ways God is shaping us in the ways of Jesus is through texts like these. This is what discipleship means, leaning into His teachings. Since June 12th, what is it that Jesus has been teaching us? In a moment, up on the screen, you will see 9 consecutive slides with parts of Luke's Gospel that we have preached through these past 6 months. I'm asking for 9 different volunteers to read for us. You can just head to one of these 2 microphones right here. Steve, will you turn on this yellow one right next to you, please? You can head to one of these microphones. If you just prefer to stand where you are and speak it out loud, you can totally do that. That is just fine. But after you've read one, you can return to your seat and let someone else go. Does that make sense? We'll do 9 readers, please.
Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at the centurion, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith."
When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem.
But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
When you give a luncheon or a dinner, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you."
But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well."
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down."
Thank you to those who got up and read. I appreciate that. In today's text, our final one in this Luke series, the gang is all here. It's a homecoming of sorts, reconvening on a strip of open land within walking distance of Midtown Jerusalem. Plenty of space to meet up.
As reunions are apt to do, the attendees get to choose their own adventure by picking where to stand and whom to stand with. Some people mingle comfortably, some awkwardly, talking about the events of the day. Some prefer not to socialize, but stand at the edge, surveying the greater mass at a manageable distance. Some folks are the center of attention by natural ability or appointed status. Others try to become the center of attention by telling off-color jokes. Anything to get a rise, even at the expense of another human being. There's lots of reminiscing, of course. That's what you do at gatherings such as this one. Though most people are telling the same story, their interpretation of those stories vary wildly. Whether you cry or laugh or sneer depends on your point of view, depends on your role, depends on your response. Thankfully, the bar is open, and so early in the morning. Only one drink is served, however, an odd concoction of wine and vinegar, which is strong enough to deaden senses and sensibility if one so chooses to partake. From Jesus' higher perch, he can see them all. That may be the sole benefit from up there, but it's enough to make his last 3 years flash before his eyes and our last six to flare before ours. Before him are folks he has met along his way. Names, faces, friends, children, neighbors, strangers, antagonists, sworn enemies. If they are not the exact people he once interacted with, this group is certainly a cross-representation of his exploratory findings. Jesus has been inviting each and every one of this representative crowd to follow him to this exact spot, and behold, look who has shown up. All the way from northern Africa, Simon the Cyrene is here. He's carried Jesus' tree when Jesus could carry it no longer. Simon symbolizes persons that Jesus met on his journey who blessed him and then disappear as quick as they appear. Like the grievous woman with a reputation for promiscuity who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Like the man who once suffered from a vicious skin disease who later fell at those same feet and praised Jesus for making him whole. People are here too, a general populace that embody the crowds that Jesus had always attracted. He gave a sermon one time on a level plain and preached things like, "Blessed are you when you are hungry. Blessed are you when you are hated. Woe to you who are well fed. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you." A crowd heard all of that. Another crowd heard when Jesus made his resolute decision to come to Jerusalem. And individuals in the crowd started making claims, "I'll follow you." "Yeah, I will too, but I need to go to my dad's funeral first." "Yep, I will go as well, but I need to say goodbye to my family." And Jesus said to all of them, "You should probably give this decision a second thought." Women are here, mourning him, weeping for him. How many women did Jesus see, hear, call, value, regard, welcome, empower? He once cured a woman whose back was shaped like a shepherd's crook, right there in the presence of men who he knew would not approve of a Sabbath day medical care. His friend Mary sat near him to absorb all of his words while his friend Martha provided space and prepared food. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many other women financed Jesus' ministry with money from their own pockets. Rulers, they are here. At every turn, Jesus would come across religious rulers, Pharisees, lawyers, and the like, in towns and villages and synagogues. Simon, for example, the Pharisee who invited Jesus into his home for a meal, but let his inclinations for exclusivity get the best of him. It was a teacher of Jewish law who asked Jesus the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" that prompted the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus implored the teacher to follow the Samaritan's lead. While we should not lump all religious leaders into the same bucket of cruelty, they are, for better or worse, represented now by a small vocal group of righteous scoffers. He saved himself, can't save himself. Saved others, can't save himself. Soldiers are here. The men holding the nails and gambling on Jesus' clothes and hoisting him into place and taunting him from below and offering him the same wine vinegar cocktail that everyone else has access to. While Luke does mention Roman soldiers several times, the only one we came across was a centurion who went against the traditional mold because he acted in kindness toward the Jews that his squadron aimed to keep in line. He even helped to build the local synagogue, and he exhibited a rare, meek humility for someone with power when he asked Jesus to heal one of his employees. The centurion may not be hammering the nails into place, but his uniform certainly signifies the platoon now before Jesus. And criminals are here too, of course. Who could forget them? Crane your neck to the left, there's one. Crane your neck to the right, there's the other. They are given the prominent seats of honor at this assembly. And that should not be too surprising. Criminals found their way into Jesus' life at a surprising rate. He was often accused of fraternizing with reprobates, eating with tax collectors and sinners, a shameful offense that Jesus would be found at a table with them. One of those tax collectors was named Zacchaeus, a chief villain, despised by his fellow Jews for stealing from them, and Jesus stayed at his house. One of those men being crucified next to him says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus welcomes the dying individual without fact-checking his sincerity. He will be remembered in the fullest possible sense in all the fullness of God. But those other words, the part about your kingdom. Here, in the presence of the gathered, in this far and wide collection of delegates, there is not the teensiest bit of evidence that such a kingdom exists, or did, or will. How, where, when? No indication, no hints, no signs. Except there is a sign that's been slapped above his head. "This is the King of the Jews," it says. A sentence that's meant as a charade becomes the reality. The written charge becomes the truth. The words and the body up there, they are in display for all to see. This is God's vision statement for the world. It's a literal outpouring of God's love, astounding the hearts of whomever will turn to look and turn it back in trust and love of the Creator. Nothing about this dying and death is transactional. It is transformational. He's not dangling up there to punish people, but to heal them, to make them whole. See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? I wouldn't say that Jesus is happy about his current lot. Even he does not want to be here. But how else can you teach someone how to truly live unless you show them how to truly die? And show them he is, which is exactly what he's been trying to do from the beginning of his public ministry. Every week we've been securing ourselves to the text that Jesus secured himself to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed, are they not here too, looking at this sight? They are the Simons and the people and the women and the rulers and the soldiers and the criminals. The gang is all here. No matter which or all or any of that crowd we ourselves choose to identify with, we are here too, since we have been along for the ride. We've known in the backs of our minds that it would always come to this, that that kind of kingdom takes this kind of king. We've walked and followed and chosen and been baptized anyway, the emergent and healing transformation occurring continuously within us. Which means, if we have been listening, that through Jesus' life and through his dying and through his death, we have been freely given that exact same Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. It's on us to pronounce, to proclaim, to recover, to set free. No matter your age, no matter your job, no matter your gender, the Spirit of the Lord is on you. No matter your home, single home, group home, town home, broken home, homeless, homeschooled, homebody. At this homecoming, the Spirit of the Lord is indeed upon you. God is at work in you, my friends, just as God is at work in the world all around us. And God is at work in this community of faith. We can be certain of that. So let us move forward in trust and in hope and in great joy, because Jesus is our King here and today. So together we can say or we can type, amen and amen. Before we sing, before we stand, I want to tell you that the water in the baptistry is warm. I made sure to turn it on this morning. It's good to go. If you want to make a public declaration to saying yes to God through baptism, it's ready. It's here for you. And you can come and see me if you would like, as together we stand and sing this song.
John?
Yes.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humbled to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Be seated, please. King, I'll just stay on the yellow mic. Just a few hours before the events that we read today happened, where did Jesus go? What was he doing? What was one of his last acts with his disciples? When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles were with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the table now that we as a family get to share together. As we do so every week, if you are interested to help serve the bread and the cup, you can just come forward and we will share that together. Let me pray first, and if you're interested in jumping up, then please come forward. Let's pray, please. We give you thanks, O God, for your body, your human body, broken for us and for the world. Do we now see in this bread? We give you thanks for your blood that you poured out in great love to turn our hearts again to you. We see that in the cup that we now get to drink. And so we do so today with gratitude and with thanksgiving and with this church body. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. right, we now get to share in the grace of giving. You can do that, of course, by placing an offering in these plates as Larry and Glenn are going to walk around. You can give online if you so choose. You can bring it to the office. You can hand it to me, and we'll take care of it. And as always, friends, thank you for giving. Let's pray together, please. So we have seen today, O God, you are the greatest giver. And so move and turn our hearts to mimic you in the ways that we live and also ways that we give of our time and our money, our efforts. By what is given, we pray as always that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth and in this place as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Carter, you did a great job with slides this morning. This is your first time doing songs. Nice job up there. Thank you for doing that. All right, Chelsea, those my resource, is that my resource list underneath you? On the far side. Thank you. I'll come and get that in just a second. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. We've been announcing for a couple of weeks now that our biannual Missions Love offering is December 4th. We are collecting a special offering for Reiki Hiller, who works with refugees in Austria, and Glenn Langston, who works among the blind. 50% will go to Reiki, 50% will go to Glenn and Anne. You can give at any point between now and December 4th, but on the 4th specifically, we'll take special note of that. All right, Christmas ornament party. This is at my house, and I promise you, I will not be present. This is after classes, also on December 4th. There's one sign-up sheet in the back, and here's another right here. If you have not put your name on it, if you're interested in going to be a part of that, or need any kind of details on what that even means, Chelsea's right up here. She can answer any kind of questions. If you have transportation needs, we can help coordinate that as well. But come, take over my house. Have a great time, December 4th. All right, next slide. We'll get to these in just a second. A couple of other things for you. I'm going to get those now. Thank you. I mentioned during my sermon that this is the last week in our last Sunday in our church calendar. Next Sunday begins Advent, which we will recognize as a congregation for four consecutive Sundays. As a way to be mindful of Advent and the coming of Christ, I have printed out full lists of Advent resources. Should you be interested in using any of these, there are lectionary readings. There are daily reflections and works of art. There are a bunch of books on here, some podcasts, some music, and even more resources. If you are interested in having one of these to begin by next Sunday, so you have a week to prepare for what you would like to do, if you so choose, here is an incomplete list that you can get. I'm going to leave them up here on the table. I'll put half on this table and half back next to the sign-up sheet. Also, I gave these to a lot of the families last year. If you are interested in having one, I have three left. This is called Faithful Families for Advent and Christmas. This is practices, activities, devotional guides for families with children. If you would like to have one of these, you can have them. I'll put them up here on this table. I have three left. You can definitely use that. I have been here for over 15 years, and so I know the rules about what I'm about to say, and I'm going to break them anyway. I know that we only sing happy birthday to people who are 90 plus, but we're going to sing nonetheless to Layla Beseda, who is turning 84. Today is her birthday. So Layla, you are still 6 years away 6 years away from a happy birthday song, but we're going to sing to you nevertheless because we love you, okay? So sing with me, please. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Layla. Happy birthday to you. Thanks, Layla. Thinking about our upcoming week for Thanksgiving, I know it's both a gift for many people and also fraught with all sorts of feelings and memories that you may have. So there are a couple of people that you may want to check up on this week. If they are on your heart to do so, that's great. One of which is our friend and brother, Jesse, whose brother Stanley died 1 year ago this upcoming Friday. So we're mindful of him and others of you this time of year. All right, we're not going to get out of here without first me talking about Bible classes. We do have classes all over the building. You can see them up on the screen. I hope that you choose to be a part of one of these smaller community groups right after our dismissal from here. We have classes for our young people and a prayer team meet in the prayer room, all sorts of stuff. If you don't know where to go, you can ask me and I'll let you know. Okay, now we are not going to leave without declaring Jesus' pronouncement one more time from Luke's gospel. This will serve as our benediction, as our blessing, as our sending out today. So would you stand, please? Would you join me in the reading from Luke chapter 4? And we'll go forth from here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Go forth in peace and purpose. Thank you so much. I'm going to move these over. Can you put maybe half?